have dialed has not been recognized. Please check and try again.
Guys, this is Belcore Radio, episode number 33, and I am your host, Ponyboy. Gonna start it out tonight. We got a few emails that came in that I thought were worth reading off here. The first one comes from a guy named Too Geeky, and it starts out, "Hey guys, Ponyboy turned me on to the show when he posted to my my thread on the BinRev forums about Kryptos. I liked the episode so much that I wanted to hear more. So being a lazy programmer, I found it easier to put together an RSS generator for your site that generates an XML file than to actually download the episodes by hand. I hope you don't mind me doing that." And he says, "I've enclosed the Perl code that I used to do it in case you want to use it." And he sent us the Perl code with it, which I'm actually going to put up on the site. Thanks a lot to Geeky for that email, and I'm glad you enjoy the show. It actually prompted me as soon as I got this email. I realized that, you know, we're behind the times here at Belcore Radio. I mean, like, I don't want to fall into the category of, you know, little podcast crap, but I feel that it's, you know, that's whether or not you want to call it podcasting or whatever you want to call it, that's what the next thing is. That's the way things work now, and we kind of have to deal with it. You know, we have to go with what works. And so I started to just put an RSS feed on the site, and then I got kind of into it, and I have had a lot of people asking me lately, specifically Ilanka, because she's had a whole lot of trouble telling people where to download the last episode. And that just saying that the website is so hard to navigate, and I went through, because I don't check the website very often, because I already have the episodes on my computer, and it really was hard to navigate, so I actually coded up a new website, or I edited the code from the old PDA Freak web design stuff, And I, you know, made it all nice and pretty and fancy and put it up there. And it's really cool. I kind of like it. You know, I've had a few people say that it looks too plain, but I don't think that it really needs to be a big flashy site. And it's awesome, in my opinion, because it is handheld friendly. You know, you can grab it on your, you know, your little cell phone, Palm Pilot, whatever the hell you have, and it'll look good. You know, it'll all, instead of having to scroll over to read everything, it will all form itself into the shape of your screen, which I think is really cool. And so, but I am going to find us somewhere on the site. I'll probably throw up a little, you know, miscellaneous directory or something on there, and I will get this, this Perl code up for everybody to check out, because, you know, I think it's cool. It's the first time anybody's ever sent us in code and stuff, but, I will definitely have that up, and thanks a lot to Geeky for that email. And, the next email we had is from a guy named Leviathan. I think I'm pronouncing that right. And, it's actually a Walmart-related story, which is, which I found to be really interesting. A man in Monroeville, I'm not sure what state this is in. I'm going to say Pennsylvania, I think. Yeah, Pennsylvania. There we go. In the Pennsylvania Sam's Club in Monroe, Pennsylvania, a guy named Glenn Harsar was shopping there. You know, his wife's pregnant, and so they were in there picking out some baby stuff. And Sam's Club security walked up to him and said, "You're going to have to leave the store, and if you come back, we're going to arrest you." And they didn't tell him why. They just said, "Get the hell out. We have you on videotape. We have your truck on videotape. We know your eating habits." And so he was just kicked out of the store. No reason given. They just told him not to come back. And, you know, understandably, he's kind of pissed about it, you know, and, I don't know, I think it's kind of nuts, personally. I mean, it's stuff like this, because Sam's, it's stuff like this that is, I think, kind of why Project Walmart Freedom started, or why it's important, at least, you know. I mean, it's important for this kind of stuff not to be able to just happen, you know. We have to make sure that companies like, you know, like Sam's Club and, you know, Walmart, who owns them, that this kind of shit isn't just going to, you know, happen and nobody's going to give a crap. I mean, if he did something wrong, which I don't know if he did, I don't know if he didn't. According to him, he did nothing wrong. And if that's true, why kick him out of the store, you know? I mean, I'm sure they had a reason, but I also think that he has a right to know why the hell he got kicked out of the store. Why the hell he's all of a sudden banned from shopping at Sam's Clubs, or probably banned from shopping at Walmart in general. And I thought that it was important to bring this up, because I think that this should be your reason. Hearing this should be your reason for going out and, you know, maybe taking a second look at that, you know, at that Walmart in your community that you go and shop at on occasion. Because I'm not going to say that, you know, I haven't shopped at Walmart. I know that it's very tempting to do. But this is the kind of things that should make you think, hey, you know, this is kind of a bully tactic that they're doing here. And they're not telling the guy why, you know. And it's just things like this that are just a company just saying, hey, look, we're the company, and you're the little consumer guy, so, you know, we don't have to tell you a damn thing, but you did something wrong, now get out. And, it's stuff like this that should make you realize how important it is for projects like Project Walmart Freedom to continue on. And, I really want to urge everybody, and I know that it's kind of horrible of me to turn this into a big, you know, advertising campaign, I guess, for PWF. But send in, you know, any information like this you find. Project Walmart Freedom, for the longest time, has, for the most part, been, you know, just people sending in payphone numbers, which is cool. I mean, like, I don't want to make that seem like it's not a really good thing. That helps us out a lot. But stuff like this is what really PWF is about. It's about keeping Walmart in check. And I actually, after reading this article, I decided that I'm actually going to add a new section onto PWF to talk about things like this, like when this happened. And so if you know of something like this happening, or you come across a news story that is something like this, like Walmart being a, you know, being a bully in the community, you know, shutting down things. I mean, of course, you know, we can't exactly just put up, because Walmart shuts down businesses quite often, and we can't exactly, you know, put up every single, you know, thing. But news stories, stuff that we can link people to, just in general, stuff that we can have documented proof of here, like this article. Send it to me, projectwalmartfreedom@gmail.com. And, you know, like usual, we will take that information, you know, I'll probably summarize it and then throw a link up to the site that it's on. And you will be put on as a, you know, in the authors list there, just like everyone else who sends in anything to Project Walmart Freedom. So, I mean, like I said, I can't urge you guys enough to try and help this project out as much as possible. And look forward to the new rendition of it with this new section that I was talking about added in soon. If you want to check out this article, because there's more to it I didn't really get into. They've got a little video clip and everything of the new stuff. But I went ahead and did a tiny URL on it, and it's tinyurl.com/EOG6E. So check out the article, you know. Write in an email. You know, if you've got a personal story about Walmart, something that happened to you, write it into us, and I will gladly read that on the air. But thanks a lot to Leviathan for that one, and to Geeky for the previous email there. That was, you know, it was very cool stuff that you guys sent in. Moving on, a little bit of news for freaks. Actually, we got a little bit of something that I came across, and it's actually also about fishing. As I wait for the article to load up here, basically, what's been happening is a lot of fishers and, you know, scam artists have been they've been sending out, you know, phishing emails for the longest time to try and con people in, and now they're starting to. I mean, it's always been, you know, here, you know, you'll respond to this email, and then most of the time it'll be like, once we get the responding email, we'll just go ahead and send you this pre-written thing that automatically sends to you. But now it's gotten to the point where they're starting to actually include not just, you know, hey, click on this link, because if you mouse over the link, you can tell that it's not going to, you know, chase.com or, you know, bankofamerica.com. It's going to, like, 70.82.16.200/scams/boa.html. And so what they're starting to do now is they're starting to send stuff out saying, you know, oh, here's this email from, you know, bob@chase.com, and it says, you know, there's been an issue with your account, blah, 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 please give me a call at this phone number. And, you know, they'll call the number, and they'll have, like, an IVR set up, or, you know, sometimes, who knows, I mean, I'm sure that they probably have several people that will actually answer the phones on some of these places. And, you know, their IVR will come up, and it'll say, hey, you know, you've reached, you know, Bank of America, or Citigroup, or Citibank, or whatever, and it'll ask you to enter your account number and enter in your PIN, and people, I mean, you don't really think about it like that. You call up this number, nobody thinks that, oh yeah, I mean, this says that it's Bank of America right there, so it has to be. you know, the first thing that pops in your head isn't, I think I'm being scammed. I mean, it just seems... I mean, it's a good idea in that sense. I don't think that, you know, anyone's done this before. Which is, I don't want to say it's a good idea. I mean, it's phishing and it's bad. But, I mean, it's just... It's really hard, first of all, for... for, like, you know, web filters and stuff to filter this kind of thing out. Because, I mean, it's like... I mean, they can filter out certain words, but when it comes down to it, if they start trying to, you know, filter stuff with phone numbers in it, that's gonna cut... I mean, that's gonna make a lot of people very unhappy. Because a lot of people rely on that kind of stuff. I mean, like, they get phone numbers in their email from... for legit reasons. People send their phone number, you know, I send on occasion, I've been known to from, you know, I'm not going to tell you who or what, but I've been known to transfer stuff like that about contact information between me and some of my associates via email, and, I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's kind of scary to think about how many people are going to fall victim to this kind of stuff, you know? But yeah, I don't know. I thought that was kind of cool. Or kind of interesting, not cool. Let's see, what else do we got to talk about? I'll talk about these first, because they're related. Starting off, some lovely recording industry stuff. Starting off talking about Sony Music. And they're getting sued by several of the bands that, you know, they represent or whatever. Most notably, Cheap Trick and the Allman Brothers Band, which is, you know, kind of stuff that you don't really, you know, hear much about in the news anymore. But they're filing a lawsuit claiming that they're not being paid the correct royalties for songs that are up on, like, you know... free, or not free, but legal music download services, like iTunes and stuff. And, because what it is Sony, when they sell you a CD, the royalties that are going to the artist, they're taking out a fee for packaging, you know, for the actual jewel case that your CD came in, and for the actual CD itself. And they're taking out a fee for what they call damage fees. So, like, when they're storing it in their warehouse, if something, you know, breaks or whatever, they keep that little bit of money just in case something like that happens. Which I'm not sure why exactly they're taking that from the... Well, I don't know. I guess they're not technically taking it from the artist, but... That's kind of one of the factors that drives up the cost of the CD a little bit. It's money that doesn't really go to the artist that should be going to the artist. And these bands are starting to say, well, you know, you're selling these songs online, so they're not really packaged in any way. And they're not really at risk of breaking anytime soon. So where's this money going? Are you guys just pocketing this money now? And I mean, it's you know, really, like, you know, if you really think about it on a small scale, it's like 30 cents that they're not getting. 30 cents per song. And I mean, adding it up, of course, over, because I mean, you know, I'm sure Allman Brothers Band gets a lot of downloads, because they're still a fairly popular group. And Cheap Trick, I'm not sure about. Cheap Trick's one of those bands that is kind of iffy. You don't hear a lot of people like, man, I'm a big Cheap Trick fan. But, I mean, it makes sense, you know? I mean, it's like, this is money that should be going to an artist that is, you know, for an understandable reason. Like, the packaging stuff, initially, for actual CDs, the packaging fees and the, you know, the loss breakage fees, I can understand it, you know? It's, you know, if they don't want to charge up or jack up the prices any more than they have to. But at the same time, they don't want to, you know, the record company doesn't want to lose money on the deal. So they just kind of, you know, it just kind of gets cycled out. Which I can totally understand. But then, in instances like this, it's just like, where the fuck is the money going? And so I think it's really cool that, that the Allman Brothers and Cheap Trick are starting to fight back against this thing. And, so big shouts to them. And if you guys are listening, send an email in, and I'll get you on the show. But also, in a little bit, some more actually cool stuff regarding artists fighting back. The CRIA, which is the Canadian Recording Industry Association, I think that's what the acronym stands for. They're having a little trouble of their own from a group called the Canadian Music Creators Coalition. And the Canadian Music Creators Coalition is basically just what it sounds like. It's a group of recording artists in Canada who are saying, hey, you know, the CRIA is doing a lot of stuff to support digital rights management, doing a lot of stuff to, you know, shut down, doing a lot of stuff to prevent piracy that's kind of hurting the consumers in the end. And they're like, but the thing about it is that they're doing this saying that that's what we want, when it's not what we want. They're saying, hey, we're the artists, and we want our, you know, we want the public to know that these decisions that these people are making aren't being made for us. They're being made for the benefit of this record label. This record label wants to make more money, and so they're going out and doing this. And it has nothing to do with us, and we don't support it. I mean, they've got quite a few members. Let's see, I'm not sure how many people are in some of these bands, but, like, I mean, like, you know, pretty big names that have come out of Canada. I mean, you got, like, Bare Naked Ladies, which is a pretty big name. I mean, they've been popular for a really while. Avril Lavigne and Sarah McLachlan. And, you know, bands like Sum 41 and similar stuff. And they're just, I mean, I think it's really cool that they're finally, you know, Bare Naked Ladies for the longest time has been pretty vocal with the fact that, you know, they don't support digital rights management and stuff like that. They've been very vocal with the fact that they want to be kind of free to do, or they want their listeners to be kind of free to do what they want with their music. I mean, just their last CD, I believe, was released on a thumb drive. And we actually talked about that on one of the previous episodes, which, I mean, is really cool, because you can take the music and take it off that thumb drive and do what you want with it. I mean, they don't want you to violate their copyrights, I'm sure, but they want you to be able to use your music how you see fit. You know, if you want to take the music that you bought and, you know, keep a copy on your computer and then have a CD that you keep in your car, that's cool for them. You know, I mean, it makes it easier. If your CD gets scratched up or something, you can make another copy, which is excellent. I mean, I'm all for that, and they're all for that, and I think it's really cool that they're finally starting to, you know, just say, hey, stop doing things in our name that we don't agree with. And I think that's really cool, and I'm going to stop repeating the same kind of thing over and over again. Something else really cool that this was actually something that I was quite upset that it happened when it did, because I really would have liked to have had a chat with this with Alonka about this on the previous show. It actually came out right after, maybe like 3 or 4 days after I released episode 32, and it's about recently. There's been a lot of stink for people who haven't heard. There's been a lot of stink about whether or not the Da Vinci Code was kind of not really plagiarized, but I mean it is based off of ideas that other people have written about previously, and he kind of turned it into this like really good book, which is totally cool. And there's been a big stink, like people are like, yeah, well, we had this idea already and we already wrote these books, so we think that we should get this kind of credit for it. Which I think that it kind of, it's just an act of, hey, this guy's getting really famous for this thing, but it was our idea, so why aren't we getting really famous for it? And I think it's kind of bullshit. I mean, it's understandable that you want to get some credit for your idea. And I mean, I'm sure that, you know, the author Dan Brown, I know for a fact that he has admitted, yeah, you know, I based the book off of some ideas that other people have talked about already, that other people, you know, were thinking about long before I was thinking about it. But what I thought was really cool, and me and Alonka were talking about this after I released the last episode, and in the lawsuit, at the end of the case between the you know, between Dan Brown and the people trying to sue him or whatever, the judge released the verdict as a code, which I thought was really cool. And you know, it had people going nuts, basically. I mean, it was a big thing, like, you know, people were getting really upset because it was kind of like, you know, why is he doing this, you know, why, like, he should just be taking his job seriously instead of, you know, trying to, you know, play games with everyone. And I think it's kind of cool. I think it's, first of all, I think it's really cool that he had the balls to do this. You know, he put it out on the table. He said, here, you know, here's this cool code. And it was apparently a pretty, you know, it's been deciphered already, and I'm gonna look around and see if I can't find the answer to it. But I thought it was really cool that he had the guts to say, you know, here's this thing, and if you want the answer, you crack this code. You know, if it's such a big thing that everybody likes, I'm gonna have some fun and watch you guys sweat for a while. And I don't know, I think it's cool. And I'm gonna look around to see if I think it's been cracked already. If not, you know, maybe look it up and keep trying to find it. It's actually, it's gonna be tinyurl.com/nwrj5. Okay, but yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of cool. And so if you want to try a hand, try and, like, don't look for the answer. You know, it's a really good way to learn how to do this kind of stuff. Just take a look at it. You know, sit down with your pencil and pen, or pencil and paper, and just try your hand at cracking this thing. See if you can find a pattern in it or whatever. And I mean, that's the best way to learn how to do this kind of stuff. And if I can take a second to plug it, I highly recommend, I just got my copy of it a few days ago, I highly recommend you check out the book that Alonka wrote about, you know, secret codes and puzzles and stuff, because it's a very good learning tool, and I'm sure she'll be very happy to hear me talking about it on the show. And I came across a post as this page loads. I think I saw it on Slashdot a few days ago when I was getting the final touches on the show notes here, and it's about a guy named Barry Fox who goes through patent applications and finds really kind of weird, interesting ones and posts them up. And he found one that Apple actually an idea that Apple patented previously that, when I read it, it worried me a lot. And, basically, what they've patented is an idea that's really for, kind of for video teleconferencing stuff. It's an LCD screen with, between every little liquid crystal cell is a little camera, or a little, sensor. So, as you're watching the screen is watching you. And as soon as I read that, I was like, holy shit, that is the telescreen from, the book of 1984. And, I mean, the fact that, like, and it's not just, you know, oh, here's this cool idea. They have design sketches for it, and they have it patented, and actually, let's see when it was patented. It was filed, actually, 2 years ago, surprisingly. So, I mean, I'd love to see if they've used this, if they've, you know, put this thing into motion in any of their products. I think that'd be quite interesting to, you know, to see if there's something that's using this already. I mean, I know for a fact that there are, you know, well, I shouldn't say that. I don't know for a fact. I mean, I know there's video conferencing stuff. I don't know if it works in this same way, but I don't know. I read it and it scared the hell out of me. It seems like it's just, you know, a really, really easy way for a big invasion of my privacy, or for anyone's privacy for that matter. I mean, it's, I don't know. It's one of those things that, I read about it and it just scared the hell out of me. And I think that's all the news that I have as far as this kind of stuff. But I did want to put the call out here for anyone who is going to the HOPE conference up in New York that's listening to the show. I'm trying to find a place to crash. I don't have the money for a hotel room, and I really hate to, you know, beg, but I'm really trying to go. So if anybody has, like, a spare floor in their room that's willing to let me crash on it, just send us a little email. And, I mean, hopefully I will find a place and I won't have to, you know, barge in on anyone, you know, any of the listeners to the show, but I want to put the call out. And, you know, actually, send me an email if you're going, even if you don't want to, you know, let me crash on your floor. That's cool, because if I do end up going, I'm really looking forward to meeting up with some of the listeners to the show. So send me an email, bellcoreradio@gmail.com, and, you know, we'll be able to meet up more, hopefully, at least. But, oh, a little announcement, which I thought was cool. And I urge everyone to check out this forum. I actually, last night, so a few days ago, for you guys listening to the show, I got made a moderator on the Binary Revolution forums, which, you know, if you haven't checked it out, it's a really great forum. You know, it's full of generally a lot of smart people that, you know, that I go to the forum, so a lot of us know our stuff, you know, and it's, you know, you'll find people there who will always be willing to help you out with stuff. And so, you know, check out the site. If you've got questions, the moderating team is generally pretty happy to help. But, yeah, I don't know. I thought I forgot to bring it up at the beginning of the episode, so I thought I'd talk about it now. But yeah, I've been made a moderator there, so stop by the forums, you know, if you've never been there before. If you have been there before, continue to stop by the forums, I guess. that is really, I think, gonna wrap it up for me for this episode. Stay tuned. Hopefully the next episode, if not an episode soon, I'll hopefully have a very big announcement. But I'm not gonna spill the beans now. It'll be a surprise for everybody. But that's gonna be the end of the episode for now. So until next time, everybody, keep hacking, keep freaking, and keep having fun. This has been Pony Boy, and this is the end of file.